So tonight is message is titled "The Power in Relationship." We've been sharing from the book "Walking with Jesus." Tonight is the final night that we're sharing on that. I'm really excited. This is such an exciting topic. I was so excited to see that that's what I'm sharing on this evening. In fact, this morning, a couple of us, myself and a couple of the guys, went to Shofar Urban Bellville. For those of you that don't know, it's a church. It's a homeless church. In fact, all the members of the church are homeless. So it's a quite interesting congregation. And we were so blessed. I don't know, guys, Lloyd and you guys that came with, I don't know if you were so blessed as I was. But just that the hearts of the people now, these, as I said, the whole church is just homeless people. So these are the broken of the most broken of the broken, the most desperate of the desperate. Most of them have come out or in addictions. So going to share with them, you know, you can't share any fluff. You can't share any, you know, nice words and nice sayings and nice quotes. They want the real stuff. You know, so my message tonight is defluffed. Okay, all the fluff has been taken out because you can't minister to these guys. They want to see the real substance. They want to see it must make a change in my life now. You know, and it must change my emotions. It must affect me now. So I was really blessed just ministering to these guys. And just the openness and the, you know, just the, there's just a hunger to connect with God, even in the difficult situations. One of the guys, he's apparently schizophrenic, but just his hunger to God, and actually he got baptized today. But you know, he's been on this long path, you know, of hectic stuff, and he just opened up his heart. He said, now he wants prayer. He wants God to come and change him around. So he prayed for the Holy Spirit, and he left there laughing from his gut. God just touched him. He just had so much joy, and it was so brilliant just to see God coming to touch. And then it was about five people that got physical healing. One guy's back was healed, and a couple of other very significant healings. So just amazing to see Scripture in action, God's Word in action. That's always amazing. And also just the fact that Scripture says that the poor of this world are rich in faith. And I actually want to encourage all of you, if you can get to Shofar Bellville, services are 10 o'clock in the mornings, go and visit them. It will change your life. All right? So that is really blessed. But what is so amazing to me and so blessed is to see the heart of the Father, to see how God responds every time without fail. That's just the heart. That's just who God is. If you open up your heart to God, He will come. Scripture says everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Okay, everyone. You know, so you know, sometimes as we minister to people, it's quite daunting because now you put yourself in the situation, and then will God come through this time? The amazing thing is countlessly every time He does come through. Every time you position, you know, yourself or someone to hear God's voice, He does come through. Doesn't always necessarily come through in the way we would expect Him to, and that's where trust comes in. You know, that's where we actually have to step out in faith. That's where we actually have to overcome our fears, and we're gonna be talking about that tonight. But the amazing thing is to understand, and I really want us to open ourselves up to understand and get a greater revelation of the heart of the Father. And actually, I want to challenge us because, you know, I'm very for reading books and reading books about God and reading and getting information and getting impartation through books. But you know what? There's nothing better than first-hand revelation. Getting from Scripture, from your relationship with God, getting the substance. You know, I think so often we as modern Christians, we live for months going on other people's revelations. But you know what? God wants to give us revelations that's just yours. And sometimes for, you know, he wants to share stuff with you that you're not going to share for 5 or 10 years with other people. Because he just wants to share it with you. And that's the power of relationship. That is the heart of God, because he longs for that. He wants that. And it's up to you and I to respond. It's amazing. I've got a little baby daughter. Her name's Malaya. She's 14 months old. And she's really just such a joy to our home. She just continuously laughs. See, her whole day is just about fun. And as she wakes up the morning, and then she can't wait to get out of her bed, and she's just so excited. And my most favorite part of mostly every day is when I get home and I see her face and she sees mine and her face lights up. It's just the highlight of my day every day. You know, just to see her face responds. You know, just as she sees her daddy. You know, and that just, it's just so descriptive of God's heart towards us and the way that he feels about us. And I know what I'm talking about is you know, is basics, but you know what? It's important that we come back to basics. It's important that we understand and live with the heart of God every day, every moment. Okay? And we so often get technical and professional. That's why I'm saying go to those guys that are poor and see them just being open to receive a touch from God. And sometimes you and I must just come to God and just say, I want to worship and I just want to be touched by you, Lord. Just come and touch me. And just in your home and where you're at, just say, Lord, I'm open. But that is the power of relationship. And I want to just quickly share tonight a couple of verses. I don't want to share long because I want us actually to return to the purpose of us coming to church, and that is worship. That is to connect with God. So Stefan and the band, they're ready for us to sing some more songs and to worship and connect with God's heart. So I want us to, hopefully I can be quick, and then we can get back to that. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5, says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, without self-control, fierce despisers of those who are good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Then verse 5 says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." And then look at that last sentence. It just so struck me again the other day. "From such, turn away." Now, I want to just paint the picture, because it says, having a form of godliness. In other words, let's say it in these words. They sit in the church. Okay? They've got a form of godliness. They call themselves Christians. Not necessarily in the church, but they call themselves Christians. They've got a form of godliness, but then it says that they deny the power. Okay? All throughout Scripture, if you look at David and Saul, it's obviously now an Old Testament example, but David's worst enemy, David was obviously the anointed king, but David's worst enemy was not the Philistines. His worst enemy was not all the nations opposing them and making war with Israel. In fact, if you go and read 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, you'll see that David was never intimidated by the armies coming against him, because his confidence was always in God. He never had a fear. David was a worshiper, so he had confidence in God. And I'm sure sometimes, you know, in the natural he would be scared, but then he would, Scripture often says, he would strengthen himself in the Lord. So his enemy was never the people on the outside, but David's enemy was what? The people on the inside. The souls. And we call them, Saul obviously representing to us the ex-anointed, because now Saul was anointed and David was anointed, but God had left Saul. So David, wanting to steward God's kingdom, wanting to be a shepherd as he was called to, his biggest enemy was the ex-anointed. I want to say the same is the truth today. The biggest enemy of the church is not the unsaved people. It's not the people in the world. It's not the biggest atheist that you can find. The enemies of the church are calling themselves Christians today. Thou those people, Scripture says, have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. Okay? Of such people, turn away. In other words, don't have anything to do with them. I don't know about you, but that's quite a hard scripture. You know? Another word for godliness is piety. In other words, people that practice biblical principles, they look like one would think a Christian would look like, but no power. That's what we're talking about tonight. That's what's so amazing about the guys this morning is they just embraced this truth. Because you know what? If you really just logically think about it, I don't know, sometimes religious people, I don't understand this. I don't know if you've ever gone to pray for like a very religious person. They never want you to pray for them. I don't know if you've noticed that. They'll always come with some reason why you can't pray for them. But someone like that doesn't believe in prayer, because you know what? Prayer is something that you cannot control. Okay? Because we as sons, we depend on God. You cannot control God. Okay? If you want to be a son of God, then you have to trust. The religious spirit doesn't like trust. Okay, wants to get us away from trust. Whereas God wants us to be dependent on Him. Okay, so for us in the church today, our biggest challenge, our biggest enemy is the religious spirit. Is that spirit that comes in between us and takes away the power of God from our midst. Okay, we're going to talk tonight and we're going to open ourselves up so that God can come and do a work in our hearts. And restore that place of relationship. Restore if the enemy has stolen in any regard. I want to share three aspects of three needs that all of us have. Three needs that we have in terms of relationship and in terms of God's relationship of power. I was going to say earlier, God, of course, is the God of the universe. He created everything. He created all of us. He's the one that gave the Holy Spirit to Christ, that gave it to the disciples, that rose Jesus from the dead, through which Jesus did miracles, all of that, the Holy Spirit with us. He gave us all those things, and we're going to see the specific intent and purposes of God, why He gave us the Holy Spirit just now. But the important thing is that we understand the needs that God has placed in us. And always with needs, God, there's needs inside of us that is legitimate. Because we're human, we've got needs, all right? God has made us that way. And God almost built inside of us, humanity, the needs to be able to connect to a supernatural God, all right? Nothing wrong with needs. Sometimes Christian doctrine says that you mustn't have any needs. In fact, you must go and live in a monastery and get rid of the needs. Guess what? Your needs will never disappear. Okay? The problem is if you fulfill those needs with worldly things. Okay? God wants us to fulfill those needs with these things. So, I'm going to share three needs and then three answers to those needs. And the first one is God's deliverance power. All right, and I'm going to explain to you, we all know what deliverance is. You know, Jesus went around, Bible makes it very clear, He went to people that were sick and He healed them, but to other people He went to them and He delivered them, and then they got healed. Like I said, two types of healings that we see in Scripture, one is deliverance and one is healing, okay? And the need we're speaking about there, you can understand it at the end of this section, but the need is a need to be parented by God. Okay? God coming as a father to parent us. In other words, he comes and he looks at us and he gets rid of all the stuff that is not from him. Okay? That is what we're talking about when Jesus says we must pray to our Father that he will deliver us from evil. Okay? Note, that's the prayer that Jesus gives his disciples that they must pray. But it's not a once-off prayer, it's a continuous prayer. And that continuous is deliver us from evil. So in other words, I don't come to Christ and yes, then there's addiction and God delivers me and then deliverance is finished. But no, deliverance is something that you and I, deliverance from evil, is something that we'll continuously, up till the day that Jesus comes back, you and I will be delivered from evil. Okay, and it's God's heart as a father, as a parent, to parent us and to deliver us from these things. Now, I want to say tonight that all of us are going to get delivered tonight. If the only thing that you're going to get delivered of is the fear of man, then you're going to get delivered of that. All right, but God is going to deliver us. He's going to set us free. That's why I said earlier, I hope you listened to what you were singing a bit earlier, because God has set us up tonight. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, God has set you up. Now, I remember a couple of years ago, I was sharing with someone this week. He's sitting in this church. I won't say who it is. But it's also one of those situations we were sitting and praying, and the person is in quite a bit of need, and I was like, Lord, you better come through because I really don't know what to say here. I don't know. I just the last 2 weeks, I found myself in these places where I'm like, I don't know what to say. God, if you don't come through, it's over. I can't do anything here. You must come through. And then God does. That's the amazing thing about God. So now I'm sharing with this person. I'm saying, listen, we better hear from God. God needs to intervene. And I'm not going to look at the person now, but it was so amazing because what the person said was, the devil is trying to make me average. He's trying to make me average. Okay, now you might ask, you know, why is that so bad? But no, it's very bad. God doesn't want us to be average. God wants us to affect this world, to change this world. He doesn't want us to be average. And you know what? The enemy has got one plan and one purpose from the moment that you were born, is to make you average. Okay, and every assignment, every attack, you might think, it's just stuff that I'm fighting through and struggling through, and maybe it's my parents and maybe it's my background. But you know what? It was very specifically designed to keep you average. Okay? But God wants us to break through of those things. If I think, when I came to Christ, I had lots of fear. I often share that in church. But I couldn't speak to, I would freak out if I had to speak to people like this. I couldn't speak to even like little groups of people. And so I came to Christ, and God did amazing stuff. He set me free. And, I was addicted to alcohol. And the next day, or the same day that I got filled with the Holy Spirit and saved, that addiction was gone. God removed it like instantly. But the one thing that didn't change was the fact that I still had fear. It's like, I came to Christ and that thing didn't change. But I think actually God purposefully allowed me to struggle against fear. And especially fear of, fear of man and fear of speaking. Just because he wanted to shape something in me. He wanted to make something in me. So I remember I struggled with this for quite a long time. I went on missions. I did deliverance courses. I even facilitated deliverance, but I still had this massive issue about fear. And then one night, actually after a deliverance course, I was just sitting in my room and praying. And as I was praying, I just had such an encounter with God. It was literally like God came to place my hand around my spirit. I could feel it. It was so vivid to me. And I remember God said to me, now, I'm going to deliver you now from fear. And I, Then at first I didn't know what to pray, so I just started praying in the spirit. And then something rose up in me, and I just began to take authority over my life, and I started speaking against fear. And I started commanding fear to stop in my life. And that night, God delivered me from a spirit of fear. He took that spirit of fear out of my life, and it was gone. I'm not saying I never had fear after that, but there was like a hold over me that night broke. All right? And God wants to do that over whatever the thing is that you struggling with, whatever the challenge is. He wants to deliver you. He wants to take you over your being, and He wants to set you free. And it's amazing. That's exactly what Scripture talks about in Luke 11. Jesus says that if the finger of God comes, then surely the kingdom of God has come over you. That finger of God talks about the presence of God, talks about God's sovereignty to bring freedom and deliverance in our lives. Actually, that phrase, finger of God, is used often in Scripture. It's used when Moses goes to Pharaoh to deliver the people of Israel. He says, by the finger of God, I will set my people free. Okay, so it's a figure of speech that expresses God's authority, firstly. Secondly, we find other scriptures, Psalm 8 verse 3, Isaiah 48 verse 13, Isaiah 64 verse 8, where it says that God creates with His finger. Okay? He created the heavens and the earth with His finger, Scripture says. God writes with His fingers. With His fingers. When Moses came down from the mountain, it says that the tablets were written with God's finger. Okay? So God's finger represents His authority over His creation. Okay? Whether it's the natural creation, whether it's the spiritual world, it talks about God's authority. And we're going to look at now that when Jesus was crucified, when He was lifted up, He was placed over all authorities. Okay? So Jesus has authority. All authority over every evil. And He wants to set us free from that evil. But I want us to see the heart of God in this. I want us to see the fact that we are His sons and His daughters, and He knows our challenges. He knows the most difficult thing that we struggle with. He knows about it. And He's just looking for you and I to, like good children, go to the Father and say, Father, listen, I don't know. And deliverance is simply this. If you've tried every natural means to get rid of an issue, if you've tried all the self-help things, or if you applied all the biblical principles to your life and still there's this issue, then that means that you need deliverance. That only God can do. I said earlier, you cannot fix yourself. You cannot change yourself. Only God, by His finger, can come and set you free. The next thing I want to share about, and that is moving a bit more outward. God first wants to deliver us inward so that outwardly you and I can become effective witnesses. All right? Scripture says in Acts chapter 1 verse 7 and 8, before I'm going to read that, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Why did God give us the Holy Spirit? Is it to function in the gifts? Is it to see miracles? Of course, to both those questions, yes. But the bigger question, the bigger answer is the fact that God gave us the Holy Spirit to be effective witnesses. All right? To be powerful witnesses. If you read Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be My witnesses, telling people about Me everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. It's important that we as a church, we're not just witnesses in India and Zimbabwe and the places that God sends us on missions, but that we're witnesses everywhere. If you look at the first part of that scripture, it says in verse 7, Jesus, replied to the disciples. They've been filled, or just before they got filled with the Holy Spirit, after Jesus died, Jesus appears and he says, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. Now, the religious spirit has got an inability to understand times and seasons. Okay? So if you look at when Jesus was around, the religious people of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, even though they knew Scripture better than you and I know, or at least the Torah, the first five chapters of the Scriptures, they knew it better than you and I know, but still they could not recognize the Messiah. Okay? So the religious spirit has an inability to understand times and seasons. And why in verse 7 we see again, because it's in the Father's hands. He determines the times and the seasons. You and I, we don't have that place. And once again, you see that control. The religious spirit wants to control. The sons of God give it over to God. Okay? He makes the decisions. He appoints the times. He shows us when and where. But the important thing is that we understand that God has made you and I to be witnesses. Okay? He doesn't want us to do witnessing. Okay? Of course, he wants us to share. But more than that, he wants us to be witnesses. Okay? In other words, it's not just something that I do when I go on a mission trip. It's not something that once in a week I go to hospital ministry or I go to this sort of ministry and I do witnessing, but I am a witness. In other words, it's core to who I am. Wherever I go, whatever person, people I come in contact with, I'm a witness. Okay? And I believe that God wants us tonight, for some of us, you share about Christ and you share about God's love, but it's not from a place of power. Okay? And tonight God wants to change that. Because there's too, and I'm speaking from my own part as well. There's too much of, you know, inviting someone to church, but then they're like, okay, no, that's maybe for you, but it's not for me. But when there's a demonstration of God's power, the person, they can still choose yes, no, but at least there's a witness, and I believe that God wants to bring us to that place, all of us. All right. Where we don't just invite people to church and then they're like, okay, yes, I'll come. And then, you know, we come to church and then they're not here. But where they cannot deny. They can maybe say, yes, I see that, but I choose to instead walk in sin and do my own way and follow my own path. But at least they cannot deny the fact that there was a living testimony, a living encounter right before them. Can I get some amens tonight? Okay, are you excited about that? Okay, I believe God wants us to become excited about that because I don't know if you've noticed, but there's quite a few chairs open around us. Okay, now God has someone that he wants to fill that chair with. And that chair has not got someone else's name on, it's got your name on. Okay, because God wants you to fill that chair. Not to grow a bigger church, but for people to be affected, for people to discover the kingdom, but almost even more than that, that to bring you to a place where you are a witness, where you are what Christ intended you to be, where he's made you to reflect his glory to this world. And I think God is just wanting us to step up our game a bit when it comes to this. He wants us to be effective when sharing with people. And some of us, maybe you haven't been sharing. Actually, let me ask the question. Who of you, the last 2 weeks, have shared your faith with someone? Say again? No, have shared your faith. Brilliant. That's awesome. That's awesome. It's amazing that we can be in a place like Cape Town. And as I said earlier, I don't know if you guys have realized, but there's such a need. There's such a ready harvest. We just need laborers. You know, just walking around this week, I went into Rondebosch and I some of the guys went with me. And we just started praying for people. And I went to one guy and I started praying with him. And I was, you know, just realizing when I started talking to him that God is already busy working in his life. Okay? In fact, God has taken him 10 steps already. And here I come and I just do the last step. God is moving. Jesus says, my Father is busy working. He's working always. And it's up to you and I to begin to see, okay, God, you are working. Okay? How can I join in with what you're doing? All right? So I came to this guy and he was like on the tip of being saved. He just literally needed someone to stand in front of him. Okay? And then I started speaking to him. He said, no. I said, are you a Christian? He said, I believe in God, but I haven't repented of my sins and I'm not born again. So I said, but he said, no, but my wife's a Christian and she constantly preaches at me. But, and then it's amazing. God gave me a word for me and God said to him, listen, your heart is heavy and you had a tough life. And he said, yes, he's had a very hard life. And it's almost like his heart's weighing him down to such a point where he cannot. He wants to give his life to God, but it's like he cannot. And I prayed for him, and that thing lifted. And I said to him, listen, do you want to give your life to God? He said, yes, but maybe Sunday. Sunday I'll go to the pastor. And I said, don't worry about Sunday. Don't worry about your pastor. Do it now. You know, give your life to God now. Speak to him. You know, and then you can go Sunday and tell the pastor what you have done. So, I think he's also had a bit of a religious background because I said to him, listen, okay, but now pray to God, say to God. So he says to me the stuff. So I said, no, speak to God. You know, so he says to God, this is how I feel, God. So I said to him, okay, now say, God, I surrender to you. He says, surrenders to God. So I sort of facilitate him to talk to God. And then eventually, in his own words, he says, God, I give you my life. And he commits his life to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amazing just to see how God has prepared everything, and I just had to join in. Okay? And I believe that God has at least one of those appointments per day for us to walk in. It's just up to us to see it. Okay? So I want to put the challenge out that at least once a week, okay? So if there's at least 7 appointments per week, then I think one is very reasonable. Do you guys agree? Okay. So I want to put the challenge that once a week that all of us share the gospel and trust God for someone to have a power encounter. Okay. Not just share about my faith and then move on, but put your faith in it. All right. And sometimes it's going to mean that we need to walk on a bit of water. You know, maybe God gives you a word of knowledge or you know, you need to pray for healing, and sometimes it's a bit daunting, but I want to put the challenge because that's what God called us. Actually, that is the purpose and the intent of Jesus giving us the Holy Spirit. And actually, that's why we're here. That's simply why we're here. And when the church loses this call, the church loses its reason for existence. Okay, that's why many churches have become religious and they're following other things, but they're not following God. Okay, because this is the mandate that God has given us. All right. Then finally, the final need is the need for apostolic power. I can explain to you what I mean by that just now. Ephesians 4, verse 10 to 15 says, and he that descended is the same who also ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Okay, I said earlier, Jesus has been given all authority. And the purpose why he's been given all authority is so that he can fill all things. All right, so that is God's desire, that is his purpose, is to see what you and I see in the people, the relationships that you and I have, that they be filled with God's glory. Okay. Who of you are going on a holiday the next couple of weeks? Maybe seeing family. Who of you are going to see family or friends that you haven't seen for a while? Okay. We're going to pray tonight that God gives you doors. into ministering to your family or to your friends or to people. You know, so often we go on holiday, and we go on holiday from the kingdom as well. Okay? But tonight, God's going to give us a commission. He's going to send us. We're going to pray. We're going to anoint you. I'm also taking up that challenge. But we want to see people being connected with Christ. Amen. Because He wants to fill all things. Verse 11 says, "And He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Okay, that's the fivefold ministry all of us know. The fivefold ministry. Verse 12 says, "The purpose and the reason for the fivefold ministry," those evangelists, teachers, apostles, pastors, and teachers, "the purpose is for perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry." Okay? All of us are ministers. All of us are commissioned and sent by Jesus to effect change in this world. Right? We ministers. "And for the edifying of the body of Christ." Okay? So firstly, to effect change in the world. Secondly, to edify the body. To when we come like this, to trust for prophecy, to trust for words that builds up the church. Okay? We're going to start doing that more often in church, where we open up for prophetic words and prophecy. But now look at verse 13. Okay? So we all know about the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry has been sent into the church to equip us. Okay, that part I think most of us know. Okay, they're there. We're sitting under the word of evangelists, teachers, pastors, and they teach us. They equip us to, so that we can go and do the work of the ministry. But look at this. Verse 13 says, "Until we have all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Okay. So in other words, I read this the following way. God has given apostles, prophets, teachers, those that have called to offices to speak into our lives, to equip us, to perfect us. But you know what? There's going to be a time where believers in churches are going to come to such a place of maturity that the place of the fivefold sort of disappears. Because every person walks in apostolic authority. Does that make sense? I don't know about you, but that excites me. That makes me very excited, because God would see in all of us. I want us to think of the apostles, the first apostles. They walked this earth effecting change wherever they went. Okay? No matter what gifting, no matter if they were pastoral, or they stepped into people's lives and change was effected. Okay? Miracles and signs and wonders followed them. Then it goes on, verse 14. "And that we henceforth be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and their cunning and craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him all things who is the head, even Christ." All right, so then that scripture continues, and it talks about the body and the purpose of the body. But now, firstly, it says that Christ is the head. Okay, Jesus is the head. And it doesn't mean the head is the leader. Of course it does. But the picture that it paints is there's a body, and Christ is the head. Okay? And the church is the body. Okay? Now, unfortunately today, as I said earlier, the biggest enemy of the church call themselves Christians. Unfortunately, there's a movement in the kingdom of God that says you can have a relationship with Christ, in other words, the head, but you don't need to have a relationship with the body. Okay, now, who's married here? You guys will agree. If I say to my wife, "I like your head, I don't like your body," that's the end. All right? Game over. That's not going to work. But actually, you guys are laughing, but it's so ridiculous. But actually, that's what's happening in the kingdom. That's what's happening, you know, with regards to the church. People saying, "I love Jesus. I'll spend time with Jesus and I'll worship Jesus. and I'll go from conference to conference, but I don't want to be part of a body, the church. I don't like Jesus' body, okay? But actually, you cannot have relationship with Christ unless you were to accept His body. Okay, sometimes God has grace over people, maybe gone through hurts and, you know, had bad church experiences. Okay, that does happen. I see it happen. But actually, it doesn't happen that often. There's also this thing going around in the church saying the church is so bad and the church is this. And, you know, often we jump on the bandwagon. We also agree with that. The church is so bad and done so many things wrong. But you know what? It's actually not the case. It's actually the setup. It's the setup of the enemy because he knows the power of the body. That's why I'm actually, the scripture is so amazing because God is amazing when it comes to scripture. Is he says something and he actually corrects the false right there. So this apostolic authority, almost you almost think, wow, okay, if all of us, if the fivefold ministry disappears and all of us walk in apostolic power, who's going to lead the church? Of course, God's going to lead the church, but now we sort of, okay, but does that mean that there's no authority? And then he comes, the writer of Ephesians, and he says, but now listen, just watch here for a second. Christ is the head of the body, okay? The body is important. The body is crucial. God has purposed the church to be the vehicle that affects change. Actually, Ephesians 1 says that is the vehicle. The church is the vehicle. He's the voice through which God acts and speaks in this world. The church, His body, to affect change. All right. So God has called us all to that place. And I want us to see that place of apostolic authority. I'm going to read something over us that describes that apostolic power that God wants for all of us. And I want to almost declare it over us. So this is what the apostolic person looks like. Someone that walks in that apostolic power. And it's not about the title apostle, but it's about the heart. Apostle means a sent one. Okay? So understanding the heart of representing God. Okay. Apostle looks like this. You come to the service already activated. Okay, you don't come to the service to be activated, but you're already activated because you're already connected with God. The sermon, and especially the scriptures, are simply confirmation to you. You got most of the scriptures during the week already, okay? Because God's been speaking to you. This happens to you weekly, not just once in 6 months. It happens weekly that you in sync, in line, or even daily, not just once in a while. In other words, you're connected. You're connected to the Holy Spirit. You don't shy away from any sort of ministry. Any moment is an opportunity, even if it makes you feel uncomfortable. You're a sent one. You are ready in and out of season. Okay, even if it's not your season, you're ready. Not waiting for the coming of the King, but hastening the coming of the King. Too many Christians are waiting for Jesus to come. We're supposed to hasten His coming. Okay, we were supposed to make Him come back. Scripture says that if every person has had a witness of the gospel, then Christ has come. Okay? Not hearing the gospel, but a witness. In other words, in power. Is that radical? Do you guys think it's radical? Okay? It's radical, but it's also the norm. Okay? That's the way the Christian faith was lived by the first people that lived Christianity. Okay? That's how they walked the walk. That's the way it was intended. Everything else or every other form of Christianity is a watered-down imitation or at most a reflection of Jesus' intent. These apostolic people are gentle with the broken, not scared of facing giants. They're not scared of crying with the mourning, rejoicing with the victorious. They laugh at the standards and temptations of the material world, as well as the pressures of the business world. They are worshippers all throughout. These are the elect of God, a chosen generation. The whole world is awaiting the manifestation of these sons of God. Even nature is awaiting these sons. They are Christ imitators, freedom fighters, fire igniters, zero time wasters. They are dead but resurrected. That is the people, that is the church that God has in mind. And I want us to allow God and the Holy Spirit to reshape our thinking of what church is, to reshape our thinking of our purpose and intent. That He brings us to a place where we desire. None of us are there. None of us all can say, but we are walking in that apostolic authority that God has. But He wants us to at least see the picture. Over the last couple of weeks, God has just been saying to us over and over, He's the Spirit of creativity. He wants to stir our imaginations so that we can see pictures of what we are supposed to do, of what we are supposed to become. And actually, you cannot become that unless you see it. I heard someone recently say, but when they do evangelism, they go and sit down and they say, Lord, give me a picture. I want to imagine. I'm going to sit and dream with you now. I'm going to dream. I'm going to dream like I'm walking up to someone and I'm going to see, you know, someone with a broken leg getting healed. I'm going to imagine all these pictures, or I'm going to imagine getting a word for someone. And it's amazing when that person starts to do that, the Holy Spirit gives him words. And the Holy Spirit, because God is the creator, there's a creative ability that comes that connects us to the supernatural. All right? The purpose why God wants us to be witnesses is because there's a need inside of you and I to not live simply only in the natural, but to live in the supernatural. The supernatural means to live beyond, above the natural. And that is what God has for us. Are you guys excited to walk in that band? If you guys can please come up. We're going to...